This year's Taste of New York event is so ambitious that we'll need an aircraft carrier to fit all of the food and wine and guests like you. Join the New York Times' Mark Bittman and me Monday, November 22nd on the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum for an evening of food and wine sampling and culinary conversation. Tickets are on sale on the events page at WNYC.org.
It's primary day in New York, and there is plenty to talk about. Here to talk about the Empire State for our second installment of our election series, The Big Picture, is WNYC senior reporter Bob Henley. Do you like being called senior reporter?
I feel very old.
I hate that. I feel like, where's my walker?
Right.
And WNYC's Ozzie Pabra, and nobody's going to call him senior.
No, not yet.
But
Give it time.
Veteran and insightful, we'll call you, all right?
Right. I've been called worse.
We're pleased to have you both here on this primary day. Hey, what do we know about turnout? Let's start with the senior guy first. Bob, what are we hearing about turnout
in the area?
It
got to a sleepy start. Apparently, we have anecdotal reporting from around the city that polling places didn't open on time. We have this odd situation where downstate – the polling starts at 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., but in like 50-some-odd other counties upstate, it starts at noon to 9.
They get to sleep in.
I guess. And any obstruction Albany can put in the way of participation. But we have really been – New York State's a laggard when it comes to turning out to vote. Even after Obama fever, we were a poor performer nationally. We didn't see the uptick in participation the rest of the country did.
What, are we just too busy doing other things here?
I guess.
Yeah. That's embarrassing, actually. We're supposed to be committed activists, you know,
we're
democracy-minded people here.
We're also supposed to eat our vegetables and, you know, go to the dentist all the time. I mean,
try an 11% turnout in the last Democratic primary citywide here. So, you know, we've always say this, what if there was a democracy and nobody came? That's where we are now.
We don't like to eat our beets.
Right, right. Well, there always is the argument that it's a sign of success, that people can go about their business doing other things than worrying about, you know, the day-to-day functions of government.
So. Boy, that spin.
Well, you know. Yeah.
But what it does do is it gives tremendous clout. I call it the amplified voter, which is whether it be the Tea Party or the labor union movement, where they're organized and they don't miss a turnout. Because with a downturn in turnout, it makes the voters that do come out king for a day.
Yeah, it turns the volume to 11 for those guys, doesn't
right.
it? All right. Well, let's talk New York. This is where moderate republicanism was practically born, right? I mean, this is the Nelson Rockefeller
– Jacob Javits,
Jacob
right.
Javits yeah. kind of philosophy that's lived here for so long, and now with the Tea Party is changing that, or is it? What do you think, Ozzie?
It does seem to be changing it. I mean, you have a case in the New York governor's race where the moderate Republican sort of establishment candidate
– Rick Lazio
was once leading and now seems to be, you know, trailing in, you know, in terms of momentum. Carl Paladino, an upstate businessman, never run for office before, who is appealing to Tea Party candidates and saying things like he's going to take it back to Albany and clean it up. And he is.
Oh, but that's about the mildest of what he has to say. He's
right.
colorful, to say the least.
To say the least. There were emails he had sent to friends and colleagues before he entered the race that are not of a nature that could be described on the radio without.
But he explained that because he's in the construction business.
Right. He said, oh, look, you know, there's more important things than my demeanor and what I forward to people in my private life. And he's apologized for it. But he's a guy who doesn't normally campaign within the niceties of what you would expect a New York or an American politician to operate in.
He's out of the box.
Well, I guess I saw –
off the chain,
right,
whatever.
When he addressed the convention of the Republican Party in the city, he is an electric speaker in the sense that he is addressing a level of frustration that your previous guest got out to. I have a column we call Stuck Nation, and that describes a circumstance where people throughout particularly suburban New York – and much of like even New Jersey are in the circumstance where they invested everything in their house and they see in this housing bubble in the aftermath that the value of the home is declining, Meanwhile, the property taxes and the costs of living there are going up. So they can't afford to sell and they can't afford to stay. That is your potential Tea Party activist.
They are drowning. That's not a good place. And Rick Lazio has not done a very good job responding, has he, until recently?
Well, what happened was he also has we have Dungeons and Dragons here. We have more parties than voters. There's a conservative party challenge also. Poor former Congressman Lazio couldn't even get the conservative nomination in the clear. So on his right flank, he has a challenge for the conservative nomination today. So what does he do with all this potential opportunity to talk about how dissatisfied people are? He discusses Park 51, the Islamic Center, and mosque proposed for Ground Zero, which I think they thought would inoculate him for the right wing, but it got him off the message that he had begun to develop and getting some momentum early on.
So you don't think that worked for him?
It's hard to see how someone with a moderate message overcomes someone who is more enthusiastic. And just to speak to that point, the front page of today's New York Tabs, the New York Post and the Daily News, both have the message front page, throw the bums out. And that is speaking to the frustration that a lot of voters are feeling. And it's hard to see how a person with a moderate message who's ignored his opponent and is less funded, being Rick Lazio, overcome someone who is motivated, engaged, and really speaking to the kind of frustration people have.
The Post is not endorsed, right?
Correct. They actually they have met with and interviewed Carl Paladino. The Rick Lazio campaign has said that they were not even invited to meet. And one of the things that—
So reading tea leaves, if you will.
Right. The biggest voice in New York Republican politics, being the New York Post, has stayed out of the race. And interestingly, there is a little bit of discord between the Lazio campaign and one of the featured writers of the New York Post, Fred Dicker, the state editor for the paper. The Lazio people referred to Fred Dicker as a Cuomo apologist on Twitter. That was a comment from the Lazio campaign spokesman, Barney Keller. The reason for that assumption is that they perceive Fred Dicker as being closely allied with Andrew Cuomo, the Democratic nominee who's been in New York politics for a very long time.
So you think ultimately the Post, come November, will actually endorse Andrew Cuomo? Is that possible?
Well, I think that you're saying, well, it's the new Andrew Cuomo running to fix the new New York on the platform of the new Democratic Party.
He's an outsider. That Andrew
Cuomo. He looks like the son of Mario Cuomo, but he's a different guy.
I'm sensing some skepticism from the senior reporter here.
No, I mean, I think I was, when we walked into the Rybrook convention the Democrats had, there was a lot of umbrage taken by senior Democrats who saw actually a sign that said the new Democratic Party, which was a formal way that they introduced this new rollout. And that's the problem is that Andrew Cuomo, attorney general, who is of the political class, is now running against the political class, which creates a problem if you want to get some of that down ballot synergy. Like, how is he going to get a sense of cohesion? So he's kind of running as an independent in some ways.
Well, and to speak to that fact, Cuomo, he has not had a public appearance today. His campaign spokesperson told me he's not expected to be out and about. So he's the head of the party. There are a number of Democrats in primaries, and he is sort of not in the public eye as of yet.
It's
today.
A morale.
Well, he doesn't have to be, right?
So, correct.
All right. So handicap Cuomo Paladino, should it happen. What's that going to be like?
It is going to be a dream come true for reporters and editors because they're going to have something to write about and something to talk about and a lot of easy headlines to write. I don't know exactly if Paladino is the candidate that Andrew Cuomo wants to face. In Paladino, you have a self-funded multimillionaire candidate who has demonstrated, for better or for worse, he's not afraid to say anything. Andrew Cuomo has been very careful, very disciplined, very cautious, but he's also been he's made a better attempt than in his previous gubernatorial race to really stick to policy issues. So it's going to be interesting to see bombastic Republican candidate on the right, cautious, well-liked Democratic candidate on the left.
So is Paladino going to win today?
I don't know. I really am not going to call it because a lot of it has to do with a lot of these House races that are happening upstate. There is, and this is something we need to focus on too, because the House of Representatives to a large degree is what we're going to have to deal with in the fall is being set up now.
Yeah, that's, and you can shift over the House. Let's
do
that.
If you go up to like the CD19, which is the Hudson Valley, where Democrat John Hall is the incumbent. Now, there's a situation where that had been traditionally a Republican seat. Demographics changed. Obama carried it by just a whisker, and that was a watershed moment because Republicans had pretty much ruled up there. There's a fight up there. This is where the Republicans kind of can't get out of their way, between a well-funded, very professional campaign around Nan Hayworth, who's an ophthalmologist. She's being challenged by Neil DiCarlo, who's a Right to Life financial services investment guy. So there's energy at this level. So it's fascinating to see, like, and it's important to keep in mind that tens of thousands of New York Republicans voted, for instance, for Ron Paul and Mike Huckabee. So these folks have been at the table for a while.
Interesting watching that trend. What else are you watching?
There is a race on Staten Island between Michael Grimm and Michael Allegretti on the Republican side to take on freshman Congressman, Democratic Congressman, Mike McMahon. McMahon is the first Democrat to hold that seat in a while. He had replaced former Congressman Vito Fisella. He was arrested for drunk driving. Later turns out he had a child out of wedlock.
A tawdry affair, you might
say. Tawdry affair, just the kind of thing that we appreciate in New York
He retired
politics.
To spend more time with both families.
senior reporter. There you go.
That's how you get the title.
Exactly.
That is comedy gold right there.
In that Staten Island race, you have, very interestingly, Sarah Palin supporting Michael Grimm. You have the former congressman, Vito Fisella, supporting Michael Allegretti. So it's going to be very interesting to see who wins that race and what happens in that district.
All right. What about Charlie Rangel's seat? What's going to happen there?
Well, I think that you've been following that very closely.
And I'll be spending tonight with him.
Right.
You
exactly.
will. All right. So is he going to prevail?
There is this notion within New York City that the congressman will survive, that he'll win, but it won't be as big of a margin. But then again, does he really care? He gets to have the last laugh on everyone that sort of took shots at him during these ethical investigations. And what's really interesting to see is who are the people that emerge to run and who appears strong coming out of this race. The New York Times supported Joyce Johnson, a person who's run in the district before for other seats but is not very well known, Adam Clayton Powell.
There's a name people know.
Well, and there's a Shakespearean narrative here, of course, which is the idea of it was Rangel as a young reformer who beat Powell's father decades ago. So there's a thought. There's also Jonathan Tessini, who is a pretty good organizer, a labor organizer. So the thing here is the field may be large enough for Rangel to prevail. And what's interesting is to see Michael Bloomberg, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, his role, because he was making calls on behalf of Congressman Rangel.
Interesting. All right. So we'll watch that one, obviously, very closely. What about across the river, New Jersey? In general, you've got a lot of districts that were, you know, kind of, as you whisker thin for Obama.
Right.
You going to watch those closely?
Well, here's the thing. We have, of course, Chris Christie, Governor Chris Christie, which was really the first circumstance for the Obama administration where they bought the president in not once, not twice, but three times, where he had a major coup during the election. And he wasn't able to do it for Governor John Corzine, who got defeated. And that really set into motion the momentum against the Democrats. So you saw then Virginia happened that night where the Republican prevailed. Then you had the situation where Ted Kennedy seat went to the Republican Party with Scott Brown. And so in some ways, Christie is now trying to fashion himself because the Tea Party was operating during the primary when Christie got the nomination. And I remember being, ironically enough, in the Green in Morristown, which was the military capital for the revolution at one point. And the Tea Party people, a huge rally, really, I could watch Christie move to the right in just engaging the crowd. And so they've had a tremendous impact in influencing the way he's responding to things. I mean, the whole way that he has taken on the Obama administration, the way that he has, for instance, done things like, historically, we always reappointed Supreme Court justices in the case, whether they were Democrat or Republican, they came up for the 7-year term, and as long as they didn't get drunk or get arrested for anything, they were reappointed. For the first time since the Constitution of 1947 was passed, he did not reappoint the only African-American Judge Wallace because he said he wasn't conservative enough. So we see him already playing to a national stage, and Christie is traveling west to places like Iowa.
Interesting. So we'll have to watch that one. Stay tuned on that front. Before we get away, new machines, or you know, the old machines are out here in New York City. Are we going to have some sort of chat event here today, or is it, as best we can tell, are they all working?
As best we can tell, some of them are sometimes working in some of the places, some of the time.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's going to happen here, too, is the turnover of personnel is another key part here. We could have a generational shift, new machines and new people doing it.
Maybe that's it.
And Mayor Michael Bloomberg is expected to address the reports about voting problems when he speaks to the media at around 1:30 today. So that gives it a level of legitimacy and concern that it didn't have earlier today.
Luckily, it's a small turnout election. Actually, this is a good dress rehearsal.
Good dress rehearsal for the general election. So if you had to tie it all together, is it the economy stupid? Is that what we're talking about, pulling all these threads
together?
Well,
in terms of energizing the Tea Party, yes, and I think the deactivation of the Obama movement, I mean, that's a thing that you have to be amazed by.
The deactivation.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, because we thought this was a social movement. It's not. And because of the fact that President Obama made a calculated decision, a bet that by fixing health care, he'd fix the economy, evidently it didn't work, at least in terms of the verdict he's going to get in the midterm election. So on terms of activating the Republican Party, that's the economy's driving it. And I think in terms of the disillusionment within the Democratic Party, which means people staying home, yeah, you're right, it is the economy.
Since the last statewide election 4 years ago, where there was a lot of hope and optimism about Eliot Spitzer reforming Albany, I think some of the theme today is frustration and people rushing to their couch and just sitting this one out.
Ozzie Pabra, Bob Henley, thank you both.
Thanks.
For
thank
walking
you.
Us through Election Day, primary Election Day here in New York City. By the way, they have blogs on WNYC.org. Stuck Nation is Bob's. The Empire is Ozzie's. Check it out. You'll know everything you need to know about New York politics and beyond. Next week, we'll look into California, a state often seen as a harbinger for the future of political trends. Thanks again, gentlemen.